So with that said, we are going to dive into part two of this message series that we are in that we started last week called Chasing Carrots. Everybody say Chasing Carrots. Chasing Carrots. Ask the person beside you, what are you chasing? What are you chasing? What are you pursuing? What are you chasing? Some of you guys are like, I'm chasing a little bit of everything. I'm chasing this, chasing that. Last week we talked about chasing fame. If you missed that message, I would encourage you guys to go online and listen to it on our website. You can download our app and catch up there. We talked about chasing fame and glory and popularity and wanting to be known by people, and how the only fame that we should be seeking is the fame of Jesus and people knowing who Jesus is. But today I'm really excited even more to dive into part two of today's message of this message series, because we're going to talk about what I'm calling today Chasing the M&Ms. Chasing the M&Ms. How many of you guys like M&Ms in here? Just by show of hands in Jesus' name. Yeah, you like M&Ms. Some of you guys like peanut M&Ms. Some of you guys like plain M&Ms. You like the M&Ms with almonds in them. Some of you guys are getting the desire for M&Ms right now as I speak. You're like, Pastor, why would you say this and you don't have any M&Ms or a vending machine for us to be able to get this? But M&Ms are good. And they taste so good, and the chocolate. How many of you guys like chocolate in here? You just love chocolate. You got a sweet tooth. You got like a million cavities just because you can't control it. And the doctor, the dentist's office loves you because you are generous to them. But you love M&Ms, and you love sweets. You love chocolate, and I love M&Ms. I can eat them literally all the time. I'm really obsessed with M&Ms to the point where it's like, man, I get a rush just opening them the package. It's like a sense of satisfaction and gratification just to peel back that wrapper and to pour them into your hand. You just hear them clicking together, and you know, it's like, man, get in my stomach. Sweet to my, it's almost as sweet as God's word, as the Bible says. It's like honeycomb, but it's a nice sweet sensation. M&Ms taste good. They are good, and I know some of you guys love M&Ms. How many of you guys love plain M&Ms? How many of you guys, just by showing hands, it's not a trick question, how many of you guys love plain M&Ms? Let me see your hands really high, really quick. Some of you guys are, yes, awesome, yep, I'm gonna throw them right over here, see if you guys catch it. Plain M&Ms, oh, where did she took your blessing? So you ain't want it bad enough. How many of you guys love peanut M&Ms? Some of y'all like, that's the one. I feel the Lord leading me to come over to this side really quick. Just gonna throw it up in the air, I don't know who catches it, but, oh, hey, make sure you share that. You didn't know you were going to get free M&Ms passed out. And here's the good news. Everybody gets M&Ms. No, I'm just joking. No, everybody doesn't get M&Ms today. Sorry, no M&Ms. But they are at 7-Eleven and Exxon and any other convenience store that you can go find them at. Love M&Ms. M&Ms are cool. But I think we both could agree that too much of M&Ms, though it may taste good to you, will not be good for you. That this thing that may bring such joy to your taste buds and so much satisfaction to your taste buds, if you're not careful, if you're consuming too much of them, if you're living to consume them, they can lead to health issues. That it can lead to poor diet and weight issues. And what I've come to find out is that you may not be chasing those type of M&Ms, but I wonder, are we chasing a different type of M&Ms? The M&Ms I want to talk about for the next few moments that I call money and materials. Are we chasing money and materials? Just by show of hands, quick question, few quick questions. How many of you guys would not mind being rich? Just by show of hands, right? That's like everybody's hands going up. Just, well, I would love to be rich, right? How many of you all know someone who is rich? Just by show of hands, right? A lot of hands have gone up. How many of you guys would say that you are rich? No, just a few hands. How many of y'all would say y'all are filthy rich? Some of you guys who are filthy rich, you're like, I'm not going to raise my hand because I don't want nobody to know that. It's interesting that almost all of us in here are not rich but want to be rich. And you probably wouldn't raise your hand if you were rich like a billionaire or trillionaire. BuzzFeed, this online article, did a poll of what people would do for $5 million and the results were very astounding. They said 54% of people would listen to country music for the rest of their life for $5 million. Blake Shelton on repeat. On repeat. Sheryl Crow on repeat. 42% of people would have all their teeth removed for $5 million. I can pay for new teeth with $5 million. That's what they said. Here's where it gets a little interesting and serious. 50% for $5 million would let one random person die for $5 million. 24% of people would live in solitude for the next 20 years. Just away from everybody for the next 20 years. Another poll that was done by a company named Gallup said, after interviewing people who made $30,000 or polling people who made $30,000, they asked them this question: how much money would you need to make in order for you to be rich if you're making $30,000? And the majority of them said around $70,000 to $75,000 would be what I would consider rich. For some of you guys in here who make that, you're like, I make that right now and I'm not rich at all. No, that's pennies. Then they interview people who made $50,000, and they asked them, how much would you need to make in order for you to be considered rich and well off? And they said, we would need to make around $100,000 to be rich. Some of you guys who are in that category of making that much money are like, that ain't a lot of money. Some of you guys are like, that is a lot of money. Here's what this shows us, that being rich is a moving line, or chasing money is a moving target. If I were to ask you, what do you need to be rich? How much money would you need to make to be rich? Some of us in here would say, I have no idea, but here's what I do know. I would need a little bit more than what I have. I need more. Everybody say more. I think that's where we want to spend some time diving into today. Because when we're talking about chasing the M&Ms of life, what it really comes down to is this endless pursuit of more, which is why the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, whoever loves money never has enough, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. In other words, if the circumference of your life and the passion of your life and the pursuit of your life is to get more money will never be enough for you. Because as long as that is the focal point, and as long as that is why you exist, and as long as that's why you live, to pursue more money, it will never satisfy. Matter of fact, let me say it like this. Chasing money and materials is a never-ending pursuit. Because the minute you think you have enough, you want a little bit more and more and more. And Jesus says these words in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. Let me modernize it for you in 21st century. Life is not about how many bags you can get. Translated money. Somebody's like, bag? A paper bag? No, bag is just a slang term for money. Life does not consist of how much paper you can stack. Life is not about how much wealth you can accumulate. Matter of fact, Jesus would tell this parable right after verse 15. He said, a rich man's land was very productive, a rich man. He thought to himself, what should I do since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? I will do this, he said. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is, Jesus says, with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, what's interesting about this parable that Jesus tells, you never hear anywhere in here where it says that this man was condemned for what he had. In other words, there wasn't anything wrong with him having what he had. The issue was what he did with what he had, which was a reflection of what his heart was pursuing. Because his heart was so bent on getting more and getting more and getting more, it led to him in the lifestyle that he had. And with that in mind, I got some good news and some bad news today. You want the good news first, you want the bad news? We'll go with the good news. You guys aren't really participating, so we'll go with good news first. Here's the good news when it comes to this parable, when it comes to us talking about chasing money, materials, when it comes to just this idea of being rich. Here's the good news when it comes to being rich. You ready for it? You are rich. You guys are like, no, no. You are rich. Doesn't mean that you're a trillionaire. Doesn't mean you're a billionaire. Doesn't even mean that you're a millionaire. It doesn't mean that you may make six figures. That's not what being rich is ultimately about. Being rich at its core is about having more than enough. More than you need. Some of you guys are like, no, Pastor, I really don't have a whole lot. I don't have more than enough. Well, maybe this will kind of put things in perspective. I don't know if you know this or not, but about 3 billion people in the world, and there's 7 billion, so about 3 billion, which means about half, almost half of the world's population lives, studies have shown, on only $2 or less a day. Half the world's population, about 3 billion people live on about $2 or less a day. You spent $5 on Starbucks yesterday. You're rich. You may not be a millionaire, but you have more than enough. Here's another kind of indicator that you're probably rich. You can, when some of you guys are trying to figure out what you're going to wear today, and you were looking at it this morning before you came here, and even last night, you go to work tomorrow, you're trying to figure out what you're going to wear, and you will go to a closet full of clothes and sit here and say these words, I have nothing to wear. How many of you guys have ever said that before? I have nothing to wear, right? Or then you go look at your shoes. I have no shoes that I want to wear. Rich people problems. Those are rich people problems. That you could go into a full closet full of clothes and a drawer and dresser full of clothes and sit here and say, I don't really have nothing to wear. Those are rich people problems. You are rich. Want me to give you some other examples of rich people problems? Here's another one, right? Amazon didn't deliver my package on time, and I pay for Amazon Prime. Rich people problems. You're rich, right? Oh my gosh, Netflix didn't connect to my Wi-Fi. Rich people problems. Oh my goodness, I forgot my AirPods, so I have to manually hold my phone up to my ear to talk to people. Oh my gosh, how prehistoric is this? Rich people problems. Now, by all means, I'm not diminishing the struggles that some of us may be dealing with as it relates to financial struggles and medical bills, and you're a single parent, you're raising your kids by yourself, blessings to you. I'm not minimizing that. Here's what I'm trying to help us understand, that we often have more than we realize. That actually, God has blessed us with a good amount of resources, which leads me to this, and I want you to say this with me. I want you to say these words. Say, I am rich. I'm rich. Which means this, you may not have everything that you want, but I can look around at all of us face to face and look at you and can tell that God has blessed you and he's increased and he's multiplied and he's opened up doors and he's done great. I can go out in the parking lot right now and see that God has been faithful and opened up doors. You are rich. And I know that that's probably not comfortable for us in some ways, you know, because it's like, man, I don't want to say that because I don't want to sound like I'm prideful or I don't want to sound like I'm arrogant. No. It's just owning the fact that God has blessed you. It's owning the fact that God has been good to you. Here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions, I like that, when God gives someone wealth and possessions, meaning this, you may have worked your job and you may have clocked in at your job, but it was God who provided that job for you. He gave you the possessions. He gave you the house that you live in. He gave you the clothes that you are wearing right now, the cars that you're driving. He has been the one who has provided and blessed you. He has been the one who has done that. He says when he has given them this and the ability to enjoy them. In other words, there's nothing wrong with you enjoying what God has given you. You should enjoy the house that you live in. You should enjoy the resources that God has blessed you with. He says, accept their lot and be happy in their toil. Why? Because this is a gift of God. What you have is a gift from God. And so, in other words, I should stop condemning what I have and celebrating God for what I have. That I should give God thanks for him blessing me with what I have. I should praise God for it. I should appreciate it and give him praise for it and not complain about it. I need you to lean into this, man, because if there's one trap right now that is in our culture, in our society, it is the money trap. It is the material trap. It is the lie of the enemy that convinces us if we just get more, we'll be happy. If we get more, we will be satisfied. And here's, I want to be really respectful and honest to you, but I got to be straightforward. Some of you guys have no joy in your life because you think money and materials are the answer to all of your problems. And God is saying, it is robbing you of the joy that I want you to experience and have. He says, I want you to live a life of joy. I want you to live a life of peace. I want you to live a life of happiness. And that only comes not from the things of this world, but that comes by enjoying it the way that God wants you to enjoy. The good news is you're rich. You want to know what the bad news is? Here's the bad news. You're rich. You're rich. Well, Pastor, how can it be both and? I thought it was either or. I mean, if I'm rich, that sounds like good news to me. Ain't nothing bad about that. Here's the bad news about it. When you and I often have more than enough, and more than we actually realize, and more than we actually appreciate, here's what happens. It can put us at a spiritual disadvantage. Meaning this, it can get in the way of my relationship with God. It can now take the place of God. This is why Jesus will say, you can't serve and love both God and money. You will love one and hate the other. And the bad news is that because of the surplus culture that we live in, I hope y'all understand that we have the privilege of being able to live in a blessing, to be able to live in a very wealthy nation. Yeah, America's jacked, and yeah, there's racism, and yeah, there's injustice, and yeah, there's a whole lot of other stuff going on in here. But there's a reason why there's so many people trying to get over here. There's a reason why. And oftentimes, we take that stuff that we have lived, that we are living in constantly, we take that for granted. As if, like, God owes us this? Or we take it for granted to the point where now it gets in the way of us pursuing the right things. And so now we become obsessed with it, and we become obsessed with having more. And now it gets in the way of our relationship with God. As a matter of fact, Jesus, he has this conversation with a guy. He's a rich, he's known as the rich young ruler in scripture, around Luke chapter 18. And in this conversation, Jesus was having these words with this guy, this young dude. And this young dude had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of riches, and he had a lot of possessions, and he was well off, and he had a lot of followers on Instagram and on Facebook and all that good stuff. Like, he was very popular. And he comes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, first of all, there's nothing that you can do to inherit eternal life. That's the first theological statement that you need to understand. You only inherit eternal life by what Jesus did for you and you receiving it by faith. So he was already off on a bad foot. And so here's what Jesus says. You know the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Honor your father and mother. And then here's what the young dude says in his pride and his arrogance. Oh, I've done all these things since I was a child. I'm good. Jesus says, but there's one thing I need you to do as well. Sell all of the stuff that you have. Give it away to the poor. Then come follow me. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that he became depressed. He became sad because he was rich. Because he had a whole lot. And here's what the principle that Jesus is trying to teach means to us today. That just as that rich young man had a whole lot and it got in the way of him following Jesus in that moment, if we're pursuing the M&Ms of life, materials, and money, it too can get in the way of us following Jesus the way he wants us to. That if I've made money and materials the focal point of my life, it will get in the way. And as a matter of fact, here's what Jesus would say in that same passage in verse 24. Seeing that he became sad, talking about the rich young ruler, Jesus said, how hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Here's what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying that if you have money that you can't be saved. Here's what he is saying. That typically when you have a whole lot of resource, you no longer place your faith and trust in Jesus. You place your faith and trust in yourself. Because you don't look at him as God, you look at yourself as God. And so what Jesus was trying to help him understand is, hey, listen, being in a relationship with me is not about really what you do, but you got to be willing to leave everything behind and come follow me. You got to be all in. And all the times when we are pursuing money and when there's this grand obsession over money and possessions and materials and we just got this desire to have more and more and more, it gets in the way of us having this relationship with God the way he intends. So Jesus says this prayer. He teaches the disciples how to pray. It's kind of a model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Some of you guys may be familiar with it. He says, this is how I want you to pray. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Why was that so important? Because in the first century context, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, that line spoke of the fact that there was extreme poverty in that time. And people literally that Jesus was talking to had no idea where resource was going to come from. But here's what he's doing. He's redirecting their focus to the provider and to the source of all of their resources because they had nowhere else to turn. And what Jesus wants us to understand today is you are not to put your faith and trust in money. You are to put your faith and trust in him. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And here's the reality. Let's just be real. Most of us, I'd say 95% of us, don't have to pray that specific part of the prayer. Why? Because he's already done it. Because you have more than enough. You don't have to pray necessarily, most of us in here, I'd argue, Lord, give me this day our daily bread. Because you have more than enough. But if you go to some developing countries, if you go some other places where they're living on $2 a day and they don't know where the food is going to come from, they know the depth of that prayer. But when we have surplus and when we're chasing a whole lot, it gets in the way of us being able to really see God for who he is. And it doesn't help that we live in a culture that shouts, what you don't have is what you need. You don't have a bigger TV, get a bigger TV. You don't have those shoes, get these shoes. You don't have this purse, buy that purse. If you don't have that watch, buy that watch. If you don't have that jacket, buy that jacket. If you don't have 2K20, buy 2K20. If you don't have cars, buy the car. If you don't have this flooring, buy the flooring. If you don't have the furniture, buy the furniture. And the constantly culture is saying, get more. They spend billions of dollars advertising to you the thing that you don't have that you think you need the most. And so we fall into this trap of constantly chasing more and more and more. And it's just never enough. How many of you guys have ever said, if I make this amount of money, I'll be good. And then you started making it and now you're saying something else. You don't got to raise your hand. But we've all, I'm pretty sure, in some capacity been there. No matter what your age is, some of you guys who are teenagers in here, your young adults, your college students, whatever the case may be, you said, if I just get this, I'll be good. But then you got it and realized it wasn't. That it didn't fill you. That it didn't satisfy you. And here's what Jesus says to that lie. He says, be on guard. Because life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Life does not consist of money and materials. Life does not consist of the M&Ms of life. That's not what life is about. He says life is much bigger than what you can possess. Life is much bigger than what you can actually obtain. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And here's the thing. Many of us in here who are followers of Christ, you know this. You know this in your head. Let's be real. We know this. I know this. But if we can be real about it, we don't live like it. So we spend all of our days chasing stuff. Just chasing. Just going to get this and going after that, going after this and going after that. And so we know that we should be grateful for what we have, and we even know what Scripture says, that we should be content with what we have. But if we could be honest, we don't live that way. So when Black Friday comes, we're killing people to go get the biggest sale. we know it, but we don't live it. And here's the reason why, because we typically believe that all of our problems can be solved with more money, more materials. And if we get more, we'll be better off. And I want you to understand, if you believe that lie from the enemy, you are already under the power and the control of money and materials. Here's why, because more money is not going to repair your marriage. More materials is not going to heal your body. More stuff isn't going to keep you from going down or back down the path of addiction. We have tried many things, myself included. We've tried that in so many ways. We believe the lie that if I get more money, I will be better off. I will have more peace. But in the words of that great philosopher known as Biggie Smalls, more money led to more problems, more stress, more headache. Because I ended up buying more and running up credit cards and doing this and chasing that. And God says, man, you fall into this trap. You fell for the lie. That's why Jesus says, be on guard, man. You got to guard yourself from greed. You got to guard yourself from this desire to just go after more and more, because what you need is not more money and more stuff. Here's what you need. Here's what you need. Answer is simple. I like what Pastor Craig Rochelle says. We don't need more of what's temporary. We need more of what's eternal. We don't need more of what's temporary. We need more of what's eternal. Here's what he means. We don't need more money. Plainly put, we need more Jesus. No amens right there for real. I know you didn't want to hear that this morning when you came in. I know you would love to hear me prognosticate how in 10 days God is going to send you some check in the mail and he's going to direct deposit and wire you $1,000 like manna from heaven. And granted, having more money may pay a few more bills and increase your way of living, but that's not what you need to be pursuing the most. What you need the most is more of Jesus. So Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians 4:18. We do not focus on what is seen, money, materials. That's not what we focus on, because that stuff can be here today and be gone the next. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You got paid Friday, it was gone Friday. You bless God for 1 second, and then all of a sudden, all them withdrawals hit at the same time. Here 1 second, gone the next. We don't need more of that. We need more. Here's what Paul says. We need more of what's unseen. So we focus not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what do we chase? What do we pursue? If we're not pursuing money, we're not pursuing possessions. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, going back to that verse. He says, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in abundance of his possessions. But then jump down to verse 31. But seek his kingdom first, and these things will be provided for you. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I don't have to base my life off pursuing money and materials, that I don't have to be the one to satisfy and provide for myself. The good news of Jesus Christ is when I pursue Jesus, and when I'm focused on Jesus, and when I'm going after Jesus, and when I make him the centerpiece of my life, he will provide all of the things that I need. He will get me all the resources that I need. He will bring forth the healing that I need. He will bring forth the open doors. He will bless me. He will open up crazy windows of blessing. He will be the one who will do the great things. I pursue him. Let me say it like this. We don't chase riches. We chase him who richly provides. I want you to write that down. I want you to post it on Facebook. Take a picture of it. Put it on your bumper sticker. Whatever you got to do to get that in your heart this week. We don't chase riches. We chase the one who richly provides. And the one who richly provides is Jesus. I said this last week. If you take care of God's business, you best believe he'll take care of yours. If you focus on him, and if you focus on pursuing him, He will make sure you are straight. How do I know this? Because in Luke chapter 12, right before verse 31, Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples, and they're wondering, how are we going to pay for this? And where are we going to get clothes? And where are we going to get food? And Jesus says, why are you worried about all this stuff? He says, look at the birds of the air. Don't they get food that they need? Look at the lilies of the field. Aren't they dressed in beautiful splendor? Doesn't God make sure that they all have what they need? Won't he make sure you, who are created in his likeness and in his image, you as a child of God, as a woman of God, as a man of God, his son, his daughter, won't he make sure, as he cares more about you than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, won't he make sure that you have everything that you need? Aren't you more valuable than them? He says, you don't have to pursue that stuff. That does not have to be the focal point of your life. And I know some of us in here, man, you've been praying and you've been asking God for increase. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong for that. But here's what I'm saying. Be careful. Be on guard that that does not become the focal point of your life. Focus on Jesus. Because when you seek first his kingdom, all these things will be provided for you. We don't chase riches. We chase the one who richly provides. We don't chase money. We chase the provider. We don't chase provision. We chase the provider. We don't chase the things of this world. We chase the one who died for this world. That's who we chase. We chase after him. We pursue him. So what do I do now with the things that he's given me then? Because I want you to understand something in here. If God happens to bless you with a whole lot and massive resources, you've seen God answer your prayer requests. You've seen God answer your prayer requests asking you for this and asking you for that. I want you to understand something here. And here, he wants you to celebrate him and praise him for it, enjoy it. But I also want you to understand it was not just for you. And oftentimes, when we follow culture, culture says, you need this TV. Culture says, you need that. It's for you. But the kingdom of God does not work like culture. The kingdom of God is not about what you can, is not about what you can possess. The kingdom of God is about what you can pass on. The kingdom of God is not about what you can just receive. The kingdom of God is about what you can contribute. So here's what Paul tells Timothy, his young protege who's pastor of a church in Ephesus. He tells Timothy to tell his church these words. Command those who are rich in this present world, who are rich in this present world. We've already established that all of us in here are rich in some way. So he's talking to us. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, because the more money you make, and when that becomes a focal point, you can become very proud and very arrogant. He says, nor to put their hope in wealth. In other words, you don't put your faith and trust in money. If I just got enough money, if I get more money, I'll be straight. No, you need more faith in Jesus. That's your issue. He says, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, meaning you can have it today and it'll be gone tomorrow, but to put their hope in God. To put their hope in God. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. Tell the person beside you, put your trust in God. Wake them up if they sleep. Put your trust in God. Trust in him. Why? Because he is the one who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. In other words, there's nothing wrong with you enjoying what God has given you. But then he says this, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous. And be willing to share, because in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Here's what Paul is saying. When God blesses you with more than enough, it is not meant to just be for you. Use it to do something that makes an eternal difference in the lives of someone else. Use it to advance God's kingdom, not yours. Use it to fulfill God's will, not yours. In the fall, later on this fall, we're going to be doing a series called Making It Count, or Make It Count. And it's a series talking about how God has called us as the people of God to be generous, not just with our resources and our money, but with our time, with our energy, with our abilities, with our gifts, with our talents, that we are called to make it count what he has placed in our hands. So what does that look like for all of us in here? It means this: you need to be generous with what God has given you. That one of the greatest cures to a greedy heart is to have a generous one. I've never found a person who's greedy and generous at the same time. I've never had that happen. I've never seen that person do that at all. I've seen people who are greedy give things, but they give things for the sole purpose to get more. But truly generous people say, what God has given me, I freely give to you. That's what Jesus was trying to help the rich young ruler to understand. That you've been blessed, not just to enjoy it for yourself, but so that way other people can be blessed as well. So what does that look like for you? Maybe that means that you go help a coworker move. Maybe that means that you pay somebody's bill this month. Maybe that means that you give somebody a ride to church. Maybe that means that you're taking some invite cards for Family Fun Day or to our church and you're inviting people so that way they can hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe that means that the bonus that you receive, you don't use it for yourself. You bless somebody else with it. No amens there. Maybe that means that the car that God blessed you with was not just meant to transport you and your family, but to be a blessing with other people. Maybe that means that the reason why God blessed you with this big house is not so that way you can put a TV up in every room. Maybe that means God wants you to invite somebody to live in your house who has nowhere to live right now. I know this is countercultural to what Western civilization, what Western culture says, but this is what it's all about to be a member of the family of God. It means that we are generous. Maybe that means that you bless a college student with some free meals because oodles and noodles is not good for you long run. Maybe that means that you go serve at a local mission like Thrive and like Habitat for Humanity. Maybe that means that you're using your resources to buy school supplies for Burbank Elementary School across the street. Maybe for some of us that means like God is calling you to take that next step and to honor him and to give to him through his local church, through tithing and through generosity. Maybe, I don't know what that means for you, but God, I know for a fact, is calling you and I to do something with what he's given us. That instead of us asking for more and pursuing more, we do more with what he's given us. We are the kingdom of God, that we are the people of God, and we are to be generous. And by all means, I'm not trying to cause you to feel guilty for what you have. I want to move you to a place of feeling responsible with what you have. That we will be responsible kingdom citizens with what God has entrusted to us. I want to close with this statement from Andy Stanley. He's a pastor out of Georgia. He says these words here. I love these words here. Lawrence, you can come on up, brother. He says this: God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich, but I will not trust in my riches, but in him who richly provides. Because I have more, I will give more, I will do more. God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. You got a refrigerator full of stuff. You got a pantry full of stuff. God has blessed you. You may not have as much as the person next to you, but he has blessed you. You're rich. But I would not trust in my riches, but I would trust in him who richly provides. Because, I need you to get this in your heart, church, because we will not be a selfish church. Because I have more, I will give more, and I will do more. I've met so many Christians through the years, man, who are gifted by God, blessed by God with a lot of resources, but are some of the most stingy, selfish people I've ever met in my life. And it blows my mind because I'm like, how can you be a person who's claimed to receive the grace of God but not extend that in the form of generosity? That's antithetical to the gospel. We should be the most generous people on the planet. We should be the most contributing people on the planet. We should not be people who are chasing the M&Ms of this world. Please, family, church family, I'm talking to you today and I need you to get this in your heart. Get off cell phones, get off all that crap. I need you to get this in your heart today. Stop chasing the M&Ms of life. Stop pursuing more. And ask God, God, what more do you want me to do with what you've given me? Because we are the church and we do not exist for ourselves. We are the church and we exist for the world. And the resources, God, that you've blessed me with are not for myself. They're for other people. And many of us if we could be honest, man, we just need to repent, which means to have a change of mind. We need to turn from one direction to the other, because we've made our life all about chasing them peanut M&Ms, then plain M&Ms, them almond M&Ms, the materials, the money, all of that, the possessions, instead of Jesus. But today, it's time for us to repent from those things and to pursue Jesus. Where we say, Jesus, I'm chasing after you and you alone. I will seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, because I know that everything else will be added unto me. And when you do bless me, I'm not going to use it all for myself. I'm going to use it to advance your kingdom in the lives of other people. I'm going to invest into other people. I'm going to bless people. And I'm going to bless people and not ask for it back in return. Some of us are good at blessing people and be like, hey, so I need that back in about 2 weeks. That's not generosity. Keep your crappy gift. Give freely with nothing in return. We like to say it around here, with no strings attached. Where you don't get any credit for. Where simply this, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, you're laying up treasure for yourself in heaven as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that those who may take hold of this life will know that it is truly life. Instead of wanting more, we would do more. We would give more. And my prayer for us today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm gonna pray for us today in this moment. And I'm actually gonna ask us all to stand to our feet in this moment, because I just believe this is a pivotal moment for so many of us today. We're turning our hearts down. You guys can bring the lights down some. Just want this personal moment between you and God today. My prayer for you today, with heads bowed and with eyes closed, is this. The Father, I pray for those who may give for the first time to you through your church, that you would bless them. I pray for those who aren't serving, making a difference in the lives of others yet for your kingdom. I pray that they would find joy in pouring out their lives for others. Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see the needs of those around us and to use what you have given us to advance your kingdom, to bless others. Father, you have blessed us. You have made us rich. And it does not mean that we are millionaires or billionaires, but you've given us more than enough in different areas of our life, more than enough to make a difference, more than enough to help others be encouraged, more than enough to meet a need. And so today, God, we commit ourselves to no longer chasing more money and materials, but to chasing after you and to doing your will here on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, would you forgive us for having such a focus, pursuing things rather than pursuing you? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Some of you are here today and you've been pursuing things. There's been an endless pursuit of more in your life. You've been chasing money and you've been chasing possessions. You've been chasing all these different things. You've been chasing the things of this world, and the world's things do not feel. Why? Because you were created by God and you were created for God. And he is the only one who can fill that void. And the reason why there is a void in your life is because the Bible says that we were hostile to God, that we have sinned against God, that our fellowship with God has been broken. And because it's been broken, nothing that we do will ever satisfy that longing and satisfy that craving. Not more money, not a better job, not another career, not a better house. None of those things fill us and will satisfy us. But God said, I have something that will. And so he sent his son Jesus to earth to live the perfect life, to die on the cross for your sins, that you would be forgiven of your sins, that you would be cleansed of all of your sins, past, present, and future. And Jesus did not stay dead, but after he died, after 3 days, he rose with all power in his hands back to life, to say that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, that God hears your prayer when you call out to Jesus, that he will fill that void, that he will meet that need, that he will satisfy that craving, that he has everything that you need and more. It is only in Jesus. Some of you are here today. You came here searching You thought more money was the answer. You thought more possessions was the answer. You thought chasing the M&Ms of this world was the answer, but it was not. It was only Jesus. And Jesus is saying, today, if you receive me, I will satisfy you. I will fill you. I will meet that need in your life. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want Jesus in my life. I'm ready to say yes to him. I'm ready to receive him as Lord and as Savior. If that is you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day to give me life and to give it more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Fill me up. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want more of you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In your name I pray. Amen.